Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at The Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at The Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please, and find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio, starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
All right, Pop Life Podcast, today is October 2nd or 3rd?
Yeah.
2nd, right?
2nd.
Full-blown Libra season. Peace to all the Libras. Even more Libras, I mean, than I thought.
Like, I've been seeing many of y'all.
I was like, I was watching, you know, seeing people on, you know, social media celebrating their birthdays. I'm like, okay.
Y'all's parents is doing a lot in the winter months.
Word. What is it? Libras is, it's around Valentine's Day.
Like, yeah, January to Valentine's Day.
Yeah. Then we go in October. I mean, bro would know. He got a Libra boy. Yeah. So, peace to everybody. How y'all doing? I feel like I ain't seen y'all in a minute.
I know. I'm sorry I wasn't with you guys last week. I had some fires to put out. I tell people, like, the upside and downside to working for yourself is that you don't have a set schedule, and sometimes you really can't control what the fuck be going on.
Yeah, and we've been having, to the people who are listeners and will hear this, we've been having some issues posted on our iTunes and stuff, but we're going to get that squared away. So y'all probably going to get, like, 2-3 shows back-to-back-to-back. And so we still taping stuff's going on SoundCloud, but we're going to get it up back to the iTunes thing as well. And so thank you for your patience. We got a couple of Twitters like where the show at type.
And thing. And I would just say, you know, there was a format change in how we normally do this. So this wasn't a lack of us trying to get it done. It just, you know, it was a format change. So what we would normally do wasn't working.
Exactly. So we'll square it away. So, you know, hopefully you'll be hearing all these shows by tomorrow, or by Monday rather, because today's Friday. But let's jump right into the madness.
Before we get to Trump, I just wanna, not that they're gonna hear this, but I just wanna acknowledge John and Chrissy.
Oh yes.
Were pregnant, a surprise baby, actually a corona baby, for lack of a better word. Mm-hmm. Some of you may know, they've been very transparent about it. They had had a lot of issues conceiving for quite some time. So their two kids, Luna and Miles, were both IVF. And so this one was a surprise. And obviously they were really excited, even though it wasn't planned, that Chrissy got pregnant naturally. And at some point last week, like she'd already gone on bed rest. And at some point, I want to say last week, she posted about having to get fluids and blood and stuff like that for the baby. And she posted the other day, I guess day before yesterday, that they had lost the baby. Well, I don't want to say lost the baby. The baby was born prematurely, but the baby wasn't viable. He didn't last long.
How long? I didn't. I want to clarify every time I say, you know. Mm-hmm. Not trying to be callous or flip anything, but by any of these questions I asked, but like, I didn't know how far along was she?
I think maybe 4 or 5 months.
Okay. I didn't know.
Because they announced about a month ago at this point.
Okay.
I think like 4 or 5 months.
Okay.
And you know, I understand that not everybody would take the road of being as open about their life as Chrissy is. I will say Chrissy and John, but that messaging usually comes through Chrissy.
Yeah.
However, one of the things I think is important that Chrissy is trying to do is normalize conversations. Like, Chrissy suffered from postpartum, you know, she suffered from fertility and conception issues, and me and some of my friends have been talking about how, and I've read a couple of pieces on this, about how, like, there's there's been this conditioning that women aren't supposed to talk about miscarriage, right? Like, you're supposed to just kind of, first of all, the fact that, you know, we've been told not to announce our pregnancy until we're out of the first trimester.
The 3 months in.
And yeah. And then, like, you know, so if you miscarry before people even knew you were pregnant, oftentimes you're just not even going to tell anyone.
So people won't even, people never even know.
That you went through this, like, really, like, it can be a really horrific and stressful thing depending on where you are in terms of your trying, if you've had miscarriages in the past, how far.
I mean, I would, again, I'm, you know, obviously I'm not a woman, I'm speaking from a man's perspective, but I would assume that it would be, no matter what the circumstances, it's very, you know, shattering to get traumatic. But again, I'm not a woman.
Like, I have two friends who, like, they found out they were pregnant one day and miscarried the next day, literally. So before they even got a chance,
they didn't get a chance to kind of live in it. They didn't get a chance
to live. Like, they, and they weren't trying at the time, but again, that's two people, you know? So it's like, and also, Chrissy's not the only person I know who has posted about having a preemie that it make it, right? So what people are really reacting to is their discomfort with having to be presented with this. And that's the whole point. It's like, it's not about you.
Yes, it's like, why are you showing me this? I didn't want to see this.
Yeah, that's too much. You should be, I would be, you know, how can you be posting this when you're so emotional and upset? And it's like, we do not have a right to tell people how to grieve. We do not have a right to tell people how to process.
I learned that up close and personal when, you know, both my parents passed away. I don't know if it was more with my father or my mother, but it was very interesting how some people's reaction. I think I was more prepared for people's reactions to be weird when my mom died.
Right.
But I wasn't prepared when my father died because I had lost a parent.
Right.
And so it was blowing me away how people's reactions to it and to me were.
Yeah, because it was about them. It was not about you.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So that leading to this, you see why people are tripping, because they're making this about how they feel about these two people losing a child, as opposed to how those two people themselves are feeling, could possibly be feeling about it.
Right, and we've been taught that, you know, the more gruesome parts of death should be private, and that what you share publicly should be kind of like, you know, touching memorials and the more sanitized part of it, and it's really hard. And I just wanted to say that because I have seen a lot of people give Chrissy a really fucking hard time, and as somebody who knows this family and can see the difference in her from her postpartum following Luna to now, like, I'm concerned about her emotional health. You know what I mean?
Of course.
Really coming at her crazy and
vicious, you know?
Oh my God. And I just think, like, people have to remember, like, they legit did lose a child. Like,
yeah.
Well, I think that social media has, obviously, you know, condolences, and, you know, really, I think the issue here is kind of like, I think people's reaction is they don't really know how to react here, right? They don't know what to say, and that adds to the uncomfortable nature, right? Because, you know, what do you say here? Mm-hmm. Like, how do you comfort that? Because, you know, as a society, we're also taught to comfort, right? Like, our job is to comfort the grieved. And when the grieved do something that is not, kind of on par with decorum for us as a society, right? Like, we're a little shook. We don't really know what to do at that point. You know what I'm saying? And so, I just think that how we, you know, mourn is a little different now than it was maybe, you know, 20, 25 years ago. You know, you go to a funeral now, you know, and people, you know, they operate a little differently. I think Chrissy is, you know, obviously in a very unique situation in that she lives a big part of her life online.
Yeah.
Like, she, so I don't necessarily know that this was, you know, her, you know, sort of using air quotes, her exposing another side as much as her really kind of being on brand with expressing where she is, how she felt. This was devastating to her. She wanted to share that with people. And I think by and large, people react to her specifically with a ton of vitriol that is just, you know, I mean, look, you know, Chrissy's outside of this. Chrissy's a big girl. She can take care of herself online, right? Like, there's nobody needs to defend her in that capacity, right? Yeah. But I think at this particular moment, if this was the moment you felt that you needed to, you know, read her or drag her or do any of that, you know, it's like, what are we doing, my nigga? Like, where are we in the world? Where are we in the world where that is our first reaction to people?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. Right? It's insane.
Ultimately a fake person, right? And when I say fake person, I mean, like, that's not someone who's impacting your life. That's not someone who is, you know, impeding your progress. And people just go all, and, I, you know, obviously I'm not comparing it in the least. I know how that shit feels on the other side.
Yeah,
it could be overwhelming, and it doesn't matter, you know, what your situation is. So I wish them well. I wish that family well. I'm pretty sure that, you know, she has what seems to be a clearly a loving husband and a support system that is in place. I hope that she gets whatever she needs to, you know, get on the other side of this.
Yeah.
If there's another side. Cause, there's another side,
yeah. I mean, her message, you know, still sounded like, you know, they were full of love. They were in a processing space. But, yeah, like you said, like, who knows how this could go? And then where people, and this is just kind of, again, I always say that our listeners, I trust that y'all are above the bullshit. But I thought, even on a much smaller level for me, what happens is that when people feel like they can say anything about you in response to you, at you, because they feel like you have so many followers, you won't see it. And then you do reply, either they're like, why are you wasting time on me? You got so much to do. Or then it's like, oh, you got all these followers, you bullying me. Like, motherfucker, you in my bitch.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, sometimes you can't win either way, you know?
Yeah. So, you said, so, you know, peace and love to them and their family and, you know, I don't even want to say, you know, here's the healing or whatever, because like Sean said, I don't know what that even entails. It's a horrible situation, and, you know, just, you know, love to them. We're gonna jump right into the. I actually thought that the biggest mess we're gonna be talking about on today's show would be the debates.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, the debates, we're going to probably do
however
half hour on the debates, half the show was just about the debates. Right. And then, lo and behold, last night, it was late too. It was late when the tweet,
it was like 1 a.m.
came out. It was after midnight. Trump posted that he and Melania have tested positive for COVID-19.
But wait, before that happened, a couple of hours before that, it came out that Hope Hicks had tested positive for COVID-19.
Exactly.
Had people looking like, all right, everybody's been on Air Force One together. They've been.
Yeah. Whatever. They don't wear no masks.
Right. They never wear masks. And, but I'll be honest, I had gotten to the point, y'all know I already think Trump had Corona at some point, because mad people close to him have.
Yeah. I think he's been, my theory is, I think he's, you know, I'm no doctor, but my theory is he's been carrying it, like you said, for a minute, because like his butlers, the Secret Service men, there's been several people that have been around him that have contracted it. And I think that he is patient zero. I think he gave it to her.
Yeah, I was like, he's a super spreader. But I think what may have happened, and I'm no doctor either, but the way, there are definitely different strains of this, of COVID-19.
Kind of like different levels.
Exactly. I think what may have happened is that I think that Trump has been an asymptomatic carrier and or already had, because there was one time earlier this year, close to around the time that people around him had been testing positive, that he looked really bad on the podium. Like, he looked really bad. On
mm-hmm. And he's been to the hospital. He's been to Walter Reed. Hospital,
even though he lied about it, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that maybe, because there's several other positives coming out of the Rose Garden announcement for Barrett as
Senator Mike Lee, who was, they got video of him like hugging all over people. Yeah.
And then the president of Notre Dame has
Who was there? Mm-hmm.
The chairman of the RNC. I don't know if she got it from there, but the chairman of the RNC.
She got it. Apparently, she probably got it from. She was on a plane to Cleveland with
it. Got it.
And back.
So I think that event. I think that there was a. I think that event was a super spread event. I don't think Trump was the origin for that. I think there was maybe a stronger strain because it for everybody to be popping up at the same time positive. That and hope. And, like, for us to have seen Trump on TV on Tuesday, and so Trump was on Fox last night around 10-ish, 11-ish, 12-ish, somewhere in there. No, he was on Fox at 9. And at 9, he was able to talk at 9 and sound normal, at least. I don't know.
Because he was talking about hope.
And then around 1 o'clock, he posted. Well, he didn't post that. He didn't write that tweet. So we know that at least at 9, he was still at least, like, coherent, right? Mm-hmm. But the fact that Trump didn't tweet at 7 a.m. this morning about how great he was feeling and he was going to beat it and it's going to be I'm going to be the fastest, most healingest person ever, tells me that he's fucked up. And so, like, and his chief of staff says he has mild symptoms, which tells me he's fucked up. Like, I'm like, he's fucked up.
But the recklessness that's still going on. So, like you said, Hope Hicks, they found out Hope Hicks had. Now, the White House did not announce that Hope Hicks had it.
Right.
A reporter found out.
Burke, I think.
Yeah, and put it out. And then the White House kind of had to confirm it. So it was like the White House wasn't even trying to tell people that
one of theirs had it. And the White House has known since she became symptomatic on Wednesday.
Yeah.
The White House timeline doesn't make sense. So let me back up. The first thing I want to say is when Trump said he had it, I was like, I don't believe it. Just because I don't believe shit these motherfuckers say.
Mm.
And because Trump's very special brand of narcissism is one that believes that any admission of illness
is an
admission of weakness and like some kind of flaw in him as a man, right? So that's why he like lied about going to the hospital. This is a president who will lie about being in a bunker, like while the White House is under threat, which is literally national security protocol. So I was like, there is no way. Like I said before, I believe that he's tested positive at some point earlier, but just didn't
tell us,
right? So I was like, I don't believe that Trump would willingly, a month out from election, make it known that he was positive unless it would, but I do believe he would lie about it as a tactic. It changes the press story. It gets him out of the next debate. It possibly positions him to come back as a sympathetic figure, or at least to have people back off on him publicly about his handling of COVID-19. Cause now he can be like, well, me and my wife just had COVID-19. And, you know, possibly if he was really looking for a way all the way out, it gives him an excuse to come off the campaign trail altogether, have Pence pick it up. And that way, if the GOP loses, Pence lost, not Trump, right?
But the thing
he didn't tweet this morning, then I was like, oh, this motherfucker really.
Yeah. And the thing about the sympathetic thing, like I said, so first of all, Hope had it. Kayleigh McEnany, the press secretary, crazy lady. She knew Hope had it and did her press conference yesterday. No mask.
Time was supposedly that Hope was tested Wednesday morning. This is what the White House says. Hope was tested Wednesday morning, the day after the debate, and had a negative test. And that she started feeling symptoms.
Yeah.
Wherever they were traveling.
Late on that, to Jersey.
And then she had another test.
They went to Jersey for a private fundraiser.
That was yesterday.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about, but Hope had another test Wednesday evening. It was apparently that one was positive.
It was positive.
So even with that, and Trump having been around her,
yeah,
Trump went to a fundraiser
to Jersey.
And have and more then, stuff on his schedule for today.
Yeah, and then Kaylee did the press conference, so she exposed MAP people. And then it also came out that at the debates, the Trump and his Trump's whole squad, when they came in to sit down, either they didn't have masks on or they did have masks on.
They came in with masks on.
And they took them off.
And
there were people from in the from Cleveland's, you know, medical medical.
Yeah, they were at a Cleveland
hospital. Yeah, so there were doctors there, and the doctors came over to them and was like, yo, like, put your mask on. Like, what are y'all doing? And they was like, fuck y'all. So they sat there defiantly with no masks on. The whole debate, while literally everybody else in the building besides Trump and Joe had masks on, right. So they've been dumb reckless. And even today, Mark Meadows, the chief of staff, when he came out to talk about
no mask on,
and Jim Acosta from CNN, and on the, they were like, "Yo, like, what are you doing, bro? Like, why? Where's
now
your mask?"
To say that the message is, No matter what you do, the virus can possibly spread. So now I think I guess they're trying to be like, well, it doesn't matter that Trump wasn't wearing a mask because obviously, no matter what you do, the virus is going to spread. It's like,
which
no,
is not true because Joe and Jill tested negative because they wear masks.
Right.
So yeah, the shit is a fucking mess. So there's been a lot of speculation about, like you said, now, like, how sick is he really? You know, there's also these conspiracy ass niggas is like, oh, it's fake and he's doing it for the election. Like, I was arguing with niggas on one, and I'm like, how does that make him win?
No, it's not so much about making him win. It's about just he. First of all, like I said, we can't think necessarily like Trump thinks. We don't think like Stephen Miller and like Jared Kushner. But I could totally see Kushner being like, when Boris came out of the hospital, they were all rallying around him. Because remember, Boris Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were all rallying around him, and this could be a way, because he is, even by Fox, he was getting killed for that mass shit at the debate, right?
Oh, yeah, he got murdered.
So I could see, I don't believe that now, but I could see how they, in their minds, could think this could spin in his favor. Even if it doesn't mean he would win the election, it's still just, it sets him up a little differently, and people are probably thinking, the other thought was that he would come back miraculously recovered in like a week and say it was the hydrochloric, or say, you know, see, it's not really that bad. If I could beat it and come back, we could push forward with opening up and we can do all that other stuff, you know, like that type of thing. But I also just always think these motherfuckers are lying. That's really what it is.
Definitely,
I always think they're lying.
He's absolutely doing that. He's absolutely, like, nigga, we from New York. We know the con when we see one. And this is a con. This is nothing more than falling down the stairs, you know, with the manager there.
My neck and my back.
Get the fuck out of here. We know what this is, bro. Like, I'm not buying none of this shit. And yes, I absolutely 100% believe they wanted to plant this seed and see which way the wind blew. And if it turns out that he's, because also you have to remember too, a big part of his identity is winning, and the idea that he is losing at anything would be enough to make him like, dude, this was not a press release through any proper measure. This motherfucker tweeted out at 1 a.m. that I got the Rona.
Right.
That's insane. I think it being
the story that him and Melania had it, right? So I don't know if you guys saw this, but there was audio of Melania that came out yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that.
Where she was basically complaining about her duties as first lady,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and was like, you know, the press is asking me what I'm doing. I'm telling them about the Christmas decorations. Like, I don't give a fuck about Christmas and all this shit. And then later on, she's like, and then they asked me about the kids. Like, give me a fucking break.
Yeah.
So. And, you know, Melania is supposed to be she's supposed to win the compassion for people who think that Trump is too brute. Like, she's supposed mm-hmm. to be the balance. So you also now got Melania, where now we can go back and be like, oh, so when you wore that fucking coat that said, I really don't care, you meant the fuck out of that shit. Mm-hmm. Okay, you can't spin that now. So now Melania is also an unsympathetic character, and they rely on her a lot of times heavily to come behind him just to like close that gap for anybody he might have pissed off. So to, and there's supposedly more coming down the pipeline about his tax shit. And even without the tax payment questions, people are really like, oh, it recently came out, even though I think it was already public knowledge, but people are now like sticking to it. The fact that Justice Kennedy's son was the underwriter for Trump's loans, right? Mm-hmm. And also saying like, who do you owe this $2 billion balloon payment to that's coming up?
Yeah.
So like those questions, you know, they come. And I just think that like, again, a lot of people are like, yeah, but like you said, Jeff, this wouldn't necessarily win him the election. I'm like, but it could spin some shit. Change.
But that's, but the thing is we have to be very careful when we say what can and can't win an election.
True.
We have to remember that there was a very, I think it might have been a total of maybe 200,000 votes that actually was the shift in this election.
Yep. And
in 16,
it was the difference of like the write-ins and or the,
We're talking about a thin margin here where he, you know, where I think he won Michigan. I think it was some, you know, Pennsylvania. He won a couple of those states by like thousands of votes, right? Like we're talking like 30,000 votes here, 60,000 votes there. Like we're not. So when we say win the election, you know, we're not talking about a popularity contest.
Correct.
You know, because Hillary clearly won
the popularity.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So this is about winning those delegates and shifting those delegates. And like I was saying, if you can shift a few percentage points away, if you can cut into Biden at, you know, from 8 to 10%, and you can cut like that shit to like 7%. You can cut that to like 6 or 7%. Right, which is a small amount, but now, you know, we cooking. You know, we don't know what might happen on election day. We don't know what might happen here. We don't know what might happen there.
Mm.
You know, you kind of in the ball game. That's what they did last time. It was, we got to keep him in the ball game. We don't know what might happen in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Well, I respectfully disagree with you. I don't think it's a con. I think this dude really did get it, and I think my gut is telling me like in the past 36.
Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
What in the 50-year history of Donald Trump has not been a con? If you could tell me
That's a very good question, Sean.
That has not been attached to, preceded by, followed with a con,
mm-hmm.
I'm listening.
Okay, nothing. But what I'm saying is,
ever known him to be sick? Never.
But that's my point. I think his ego and his, like you said, his ego, his arrogance is such that him even pretending that he's sick, he wouldn't be able to stomach. That's why I think that he really is fucked up, and I think it's worse than they're saying. You remember, he's a 74-year-old, obese, terribly unhealthy person. Right.
He shows signs of all this other shit,
you know, before, like with the possibly having many strokes, his arm be jumping. He's got a crazy, like, kind of weird walk now. Like, he's got some ailments. And I think
here's the thing.
He has some neurological shit going on.
Yeah.
But I had a conversation today with somebody, and you know what they said to me that was very true? The answer could be D, all of the above. It could be all this shit.
Like he's sick and they're using it as a con.
And they're gonna use it. Yeah.
Everything, my nigga. There's nothing off the board. I could go with D.
I think he's fucked up for real. I think whole picks is fucked up for real.
Oh yeah.
But I do think they will try to somehow use it because they're all terribly you're scared to lose.
You ever see an elderly person not get attention? Nigga, they will fall out.
Yeah.
They will act like a fucking elderly person not getting attention and a fucking 3-year-old not getting attention.
It's the same shit.
It's the same motherfucker. It's same person.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'll go with D. I'll go with D like all of the above. I think he is fucked up, and I do think they're going to try to use it and spin it somehow, some way. I don't think it's going to work. I think the damage that he did to himself at the debates was like a death blow. Like, you know, we've had for 4 years, we've had all kind of things, you know, Russia, him locking kids up in cages, you know, shithole countries. I mean, too many things to mention of him being an asshole and kind of swaying a few people to not want to fuck with him this time, which is why Biden's been leading pretty much his whole campaign. But then at the debates, like seeing him on like full dickhead, asshole, racist piece of shit display, that to the point where even Fox News was like, "God damn, bro! Like, yeah. Like you didn't chill. He didn't. There was zero chill for 90 minutes. Not even to the even when Joe was talking about his son. Like he's just like, yeah, fuck your son, B. Like he was a cokehead. Like,
it's funny. It depends. This is what somebody said, and it is true, and it's what I really do hate about the whole Trump situation is that you know. Trump knows that there is a crew of the lesser refined, for lack of a better word, right? For whom whoever talks loudest wins. So yeah. For them, Trump still won. Somebody said that for people who were watching on Telemundo, who were only looking really at tone and behavior, they assumed Trump. Right.
So he was talking over Joe, talking loud.
And he was like, and his whole stance was just more whatever. But like, but anybody who was just, like, I'll be honest, I didn't watch the debate. Here's why I didn't watch the debate. I didn't watch the debate because I know who I'm voting for. There is nothing that can happen that's gonna make me vote for Trump. And honestly, at this point in the game, there's nothing that's not going to make me vote a Dem ticket. Even if I don't consider myself voting for Biden, there's nothing that's going to happen that's going to make me not vote a Dem ticket. And listening to Trump for more than like an hour and 30 seconds at a time drives me mad. And I had anxiety because I didn't want to be anxious about Biden's gaffes. And the fact that, like, you know, his stutter is back in his older age. I was just like, I'm not watching this bullshit. I'm not watching the fight of the old white man. Like, I can't do it. I was like,
But what I told this gal I know on Instagram, we were talking about it. And I said, what you said is like, at this point, 30 days, 32 days, whatever it is out, at this point, the people that are voting for Trump, and like you said, there's nothing you could say to change their mind. And same for Biden people. There's nothing you're going to say to change anybody's mind at this point. So these debates are not for those people. These debates are for the people that are still in the middle, not quite sure.
Especially for the people who are deciding if they're going to vote at all. I don't think there's any such thing as an undecided voter in terms of candidate. I think it's a matter of undecided in terms of, does my vote even matter enough for me to carry my ass out of the house and vote?
Okay.
That's the difference maker though. But that's the difference maker. Those are the people that shift the electoral college votes.
Yeah. That's what happened with Obama. Those people saw this charismatic young black man and decided to put a lot of their racism to the side and he reminded them of people black guys that went to college with and all that shit. Right. And they went this way. And then the same thing with Trump. Those people were just, I'm going to try something new Trump, and blah, 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 blah.
Well, yeah, but also with Trump, in 16, a lot of us stayed home. And a lot of us stayed home because, you know,
we weren't ignited by Hillary.
And niggas was voting for Harambe.
Yeah, niggas was writing in Hennessy and Harambe. Or niggas just really thought that niggas really thought Hillary was gonna win, right? And I actually confronted Mark Lamont Hill recently about
his Jill Stein bullshit.
Yeah, like I had to DM him because he was talking about something. And that like I've had a seething fire of anger in my heart for that motherfucker for the past 4 years. And he started following me recently, so I was like, all right, he follows me now. Let me not just talk shit about him on the open timeline. Let me actually DM him. So, because I have talked shit about him on the open timeline. So I was like, yo, since you followed me, I wanted to bring this to you here. I was like, I gotta tell you, you know, it really bothered me 4 years ago when you said, like, on fucking camera, on TV, that, like, we could afford to lose one election. I was like, I have really not gotten over that. And I really don't think you would have said it if you didn't think that Hillary had any chance not to win. Like, it was a really privileged statement.
What was his response?
That was really irresponsible. And he said that he has regretted not being more unequivocal in his stance, which was that even though he felt we could afford to lose one election, it didn't mean we should. And that that particular interview, the clips that has come from it, he was like, it's not so much that it was taken out of context. He was like, but I don't really feel it framed. It fits in the framing of like how many other times I said that we had to defeat Trump by any means necessary.
Yeah, but let me tell you why I'm not buying this. I'm not buying this story because you voted for Jill Stein.
Right, that's what I'm saying. And I was also like, and I also told him, I was like, my other problem is like, you've never walked it back. And he said that he was going to put out a statement. He was like, I've struggled with it a lot. I've been thinking about it a lot. And he was like, I'm going to say something about it soon. Because that was my other thing. It was like, it's not just that you said it. You never walked it back. Mm-hmm. And I said, there were a lot of y'all, a lot of you, people like you, who are being really smug in your anti-Dem vote.
Real cutesy and shit.
Because you thought we had it. Mm-hmm. And now we're fucked up. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, because y'all niggas was trying to get your anti on. And he was like in his favor, like he was receptive and he was open. He was like, I completely understand. That nigga still, I don't think he still said anything about it publicly, but I had to tell him because every time his name would come up, I'd be like, fuck that nigga. You know what I mean? Like, I was just so upset. But those are the people, I knew so many of those people who would be like, it's not going to make a difference to me at the end of the day. They're both the same. It's not going to matter. And like, if y'all niggas are still sitting there thinking this, I don't know. But those are the people that have to be swayed, is it worth coming outside at all? And honestly, the presidential debate isn't going to be the one to convince. I want to urge everybody who like is not sold on Biden to watch the vice presidential debate, because statistically, if Biden wins, Kamala's going to become president at some point, statistically. So yeah. It's like, because Biden's taking office at 80. So I would suggest, even if you can't go in for Biden, think about Kamala, think about down ticket, think about the SCOTUS seats, whatever it is that you got to think about other than him to get you out there, like carry your ass out. Like, it's urgent. But I knew that watching the presidential debate was not going to be helpful for me at all.
Did you watch it, bro?
I watched about maybe 25 minutes of it. I was going through the record albums and shit I had.
Oh shit! Intervisions?
Yeah. I watched about as much. I mean, I watched about as much as I needed to watch.
I got you.
It was very. I mean, again, I'm with Nye. I mean, this was not going to change my vote one way or another. I was interested to see what the strategy was going to be for Trump, and it was actually amazing that he lowered a bar that was already lowered, right? Yeah. Like, he
was on the ground.
It was just amazing to me to watch him. But that, again, that is what we talked about, all of the signs of a con man, right? Like, a con man is never going to let the person who's opposed to, when you're a victim of a con, and there's someone trying to stop that from happening, that con man never lets that person speak.
Yeah.
That's a part of the con. Yeah. He can't allow that person to get in edgewise with any sort of information challenge.
Because that's actually going to make sense.
It's actually going to make sense. And now you're thinking. I don't need you thinking. I need you to focus on me. Right. Yeah. So this is all a part of his MO. This was all on brand. This was just like his brand on steroids. Yeah. And again, I think we watch Biden. Look, you know, Biden is of a certain age. I mean, there's no secret about that. I don't think he is having someone in my life who had gone through dementia. Mm-hmm. I think that that's a bit premature. That people are putting that on him. I do think there's some level of senility that comes with being fucking 77.
Naturally, exactly.
I mean, that's just normal shit. Like, but I don't think he's gonna be, you know, like wandering around the fucking White House in his drawers looking for the button.
Walking out the White House in a robe.
In a robe, like scratching his hands and shit. Like, let's relax. Yeah. Not beneath the chin, my nigga.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You know, so I think that we do have to acknowledge that. I did love the fact that there was a little bit of fight in him. I feel like the Dems with this, you know, look, God bless Barack and his family and Michelle, but that whole we go high when they go low shit.
Fuck that.
Fuck that.
Nigga, leave that shit. Somewhere else.
Especially with a guy like Trump, because he's just gonna keep pushing. He's not gonna be like,
he basically called his son a fucking crackhead. Right?
Yeah, like,
that's
exactly.
Ultimately what he did on stage. So he's already shown that. And listen, it was Biden did everything he could do, in my opinion, to save face, to show a level of focus. The times that he did stutter and kind of got caught up, that's just because a motherfucker's just talking over you. So exactly. in your head, you know you want to slap the shit out of him, right? You know you can. Yeah. So you're trying to process all of that and stay on track with your message, which is, you know, a little bit difficult even for the best of us. You know, I seen a lot of motherfuckers that speak for a living get on the podium and wet the bed, okay?
So yeah.
Let's take a chill pill.
I'm so happy that he just got to shut up. And I've been waiting for somebody to tell Trump to shut up on camera.
Just shut the fuck up.
God.
And what was interesting about when Joe would say stuff like, yo, man, would you shut up? Or when he called him a clown a couple of times. I appreciated that as well. But what I found interesting is that Trump did not respond to that because Trump is a bully.
Yeah.
And when Joe hit him in the chest, he didn't respond. He was like, damn, like he's almost like, I'm not used to people talking to me like this, and like I don't really know what to do, which is why I think later on he bullied people, which is why he won't respond.
So like if Hillary had done it, then she would have been the nasty lady,
exactly,
you know, or something like that.
But then I think that's also why later on it went to the whole point with your son's a crackhead and blah blah.
Yeah, because
he was just mad.
Because that is a part of his tactic, right? Like it's this is happening. I don't have any control. I'm going to throw a bomb and I'm just going to shock the world. I'm going to say something so crazy and off center that you're not going to really focus on anything else anymore.
Exactly.
And it's a old, I'm saying this and I'm not saying this as like New Yorkers are so much savvy, but that is such a New York thing,
right,
in terms of the con. Like, all of his mannerisms, all of his behavior, it's all old New York. It's a caricature. Yes.
Yeah.
It's very salesman. Yes.
And it also is, I think what's also important is that, okay, so, Sean, you know, Jeff and I are on this app Clubhouse that by this point, I think a lot of our listeners will have heard about because people just be talking about the streets. But an interesting thing that's happening on Clubhouse, a lot of the folks who were part of the early segment of Clubhouse is coming out of beta are not super active on Twitter. Like, they long since left Twitter. They were maybe part of like the early Twitter crew, and then it got to whatever for them and they broke out. But now we're at the point where there are groups of people who are trying to do Clubhouse is what they call an audio drop app. So it's all audio, but there's always a moderator who can control who can speak, who can't.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing an equivalent of Zoom bombing, right? Whereas, like, if you're a person of color and you go off mute to talk, like, a white boy is going to go off mute and just, like, rum ranshod over you the whole time.
Do it Trump.
Yeah, so is their version of like Zoom bombing, but the moderators are ill-equipped to handle it because they're also in this mindset of like, well, we need to give people a chance to speak and we can't be rude and we can't silence them. And I guess they'll start arguing, but it's not in good faith, right? And it's stall tactics. So it's like, well, what exactly do you mean when you say that? But, oh, but define that. And, oh, but what about this? And, you know, the straw man arguments and stuff like that that put people on defense. And I was like, maybe I just recognize it because I came from Twitter, but I recognize troll behavior immediately, you know, whereas other people are like, well, maybe they'll learn something. Maybe we can engage in dialogue. And I'm like, they're not here to learn shit. So I think it's also like, we are just, it's so weird. Like, Americans are really quick to suspect that the most obvious shit is actually, you know, made up, a conspiracy.
It's not happening.
A rumor, you know, like COVID-19 is a conspiracy theory by Bill Gates, but you know, you don't believe you know, that there's actually Russian bots out here that you're following on Facebook talking about ADOS. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't, the stuff that we do buy versus the stuff that we're skeptical of, the math don't add up for me.
The math don't be mathing.
The math ain't mathing. But that's why Trump was able to get over on so many people, because I think for so many people, and somebody on Twitter told me that this is how they feel like, even though the crimes are like plain, if you don't want to call them crimes, even though the oversteps, the constitutional crisis, all of it is right in our face, there are some people who are like, well, it couldn't be that obvious, so it can't be true. Like, it can't be true because it wouldn't be that.
He's actually a very bad criminal, but it's just he's got so much
bluster. They're the fucking Keystone Cops are criminals and still getting away with it.
Hey, before we move, because I know we're getting ready to talk about something else, I just want to say, I had a statement about the Mark Lamont Hill situation. And you arty, farty niggas, all you fancy sadiddy degree niggas got up there.
Hummus niggas.
And all you juice, you wheatgrass drinking niggas got up there and acted like plain talk don't make for plain understanding. You knew exactly what you were saying, my guy, and it didn't take you 4 years to recognize that you should have retracted or at least had some level of culpability, accountability. Yeah. Something, you know, like dude, like to walk that statement back would have meant a lot, right? Like, not that anyone should have taken your political stances or your political views as their own, or it should have weighed anymore, but it would have done a lot for your credibility and even trying to have this discussion. Okay, you've lost complete credibility to me in the political arena, and the fact that you would even think, even to this day, that you still feel like to say that we could lose an election is a legitimate response to anything at this time when we are watching these motherfuckers steal 3 SCOTUS seats. They are stealing these fucking seats.
Yep.
Okay.
And stealing and governorships. You know what I'm
governorships. fucking hundreds of judges have been appointed on the federal levels. Yep. Okay. That will impact state laws. Right? Yep. Like that will impact I'm blown away. Yeah. I am blown away that is even a remote answer for all you smart niggas. For all you, I know I speak King's English and all that shit, and you niggas is about, you niggas ain't got the good sense God gave a billy goat.
Because they're too busy arguing about the ideology of the political system than what it actually comes down to in brass tacks. They're thinking, and that's the other problem. Like, people are thinking big in terms of like, oh, but we're an imperialist country, and what about the deaths that we cause of black and brown people abroad? And I'm like, what about the deaths of the black and brown people right fucking here? You know what I mean? It's like y'all thinking about what, you know, us bullying other countries and doing all other shit. And I'm like, I get all of that. But to me, that's secondary, maybe even tertiary. Primary is what is going on in the States. And it just tells me that you niggas are too comfortable. And like, not to even sound like a conspiracy theorist myself or an extremist, but when we were comparing, like, okay, so in 2016, people were warning that Trump could very easily be our modern version of a Hitler, right? And people jumped straight to thinking about 1941 Hitler, like when he was already marching people into Auschwitz and, you know, concentration camps. But I'm talking about 1919 to 1933 Hitler.
Early.
When he was making his way up as a political figure, building his base. People forget that Hitler was appointed to his office. And what happened was when the president died, Hitler put out a decree that said that from now on, he didn't have to get approval of Congress to make any laws. And he was just going to do whatever the fuck he wanted to do. But Germany had a constitution that was not that dissimilar from ours in terms of their rights and freedoms, right? Including press, including free speech, including all of that. But also, there was this same kind of like fraction where people who were on the left or more liberal were starting to kind of romanticize other types of infrastructures. Like in their case, I think they were kind of really looking at fascism like it was kind of cute and sexy. Mm-hmm. Over here, I see a lot of people looking at communism like it's cute and sexy.
Yeah, and communism and socialism.
Yeah, and socialism. And then, and I get it, like, our capitalism has gone too far, I understand, but still. And then, but that makes them want to not participate in this process at all. Mm-hmm. And on the right, folks felt like they could use Hitler as a tool. The elected officials felt like they could use Hitler as a tool for stuff that they wanted to do, mm-hmm. and that they can control him, and that they quickly found out that he was not controllable. And I feel like these things are all parallels.
Oh, they definitely are parallels.
With Trump. And I'm just like, when I say to people, if we can't make this election work, this is going to probably be the last fair election we have for quite some time, because shit, Trump dies, Ivanka might just be like, I'm the president now, and what?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
me and Jad is running this shit. Fuck
yeah,
it.
We don't know how this could go from here. We could end up in a fucking Handmaid's Tale. It's not hard. That's the thing I don't think people understand. It's not hard, because nobody's tripped the wire. Trump has raised 80,000 alarms. Nobody's done anything.
But the thing is, to your point, is like what Bro always says, is like we found out fucking with Trump that so many of the things that the presidents have done up to this point were protocols. They weren't actual laws. So Trump, like in his, you know, Bill Barr and Stephen Miller and the rest of them looked around and was like, oh, wait a minute, you know, we don't legally have to do none of this shit. This is what they expect us to do. But
and if we don't do it,
there's no repercussions for us not doing it. And that's when they started going haywire, because again, he could say and do whatever he wanted to do, and everybody would just be like, wait a minute, that's not how things are done. And they was like, yeah, but bro, it ain't no law saying we can't do it like this. And that's one of the reasons that we are where we are now, because there's, so I'm hoping that there will be some constitutional amendments to start putting some of this shit on the books. So
100%. They're gonna have to put some hard laws around the office of president for sure. Yeah. So yeah, I just, if y'all are still undecided, like, I mean, a friend of mine, and he might be listening to this, who shall go unnamed. We were all in a group chat freaking out when Ruth Bader Ginsburg died, and he was like, you know, condolences to y'all. I was like, to y'all, nigga, this includes you too.
But them some niggas Sean talking about. It's like, you niggas is just being contrarian to be contrarian. You think it's cute, like Mark Lauren Hill. You thought it was cute to vote for Jill Stein, nigga. Like you thought that was some sexy fly shit, to showing that you smarter than everybody else and your vision is different. My shit different. My shit hit different, nigga. You know what I'm saying? And at the time, you know what I'm saying? And at the time, he was on TV a lot. You know what I'm saying? So he was on TV with this, you know, like I said, with this contrarian view, and it was making him sexy to go on the panel with, you know, with Don Lemon or with, you know, Joy Reid or whoever it was, and be, you know, not the nigga you expect me to be. And and like you said, now, you know, people like of your ilk have in the space. And honestly, that has, and there's still a piece of those people that transferred from that into to Bernieism.
Oh, and he was one of them.
Exactly. And then Bernie people are still mad that their man got mollywopped.
Yeah, which is still, they still mad from fucking 16. It's like,
yeah, it's like, yo, but your man lost, fam. Like,
he lost twice.
No, like, nobody cheated. He got mollywopped twice.
Right, twice.
Like, fuck out of here. So, you know.
I don't know. I gotta admit, like, so when I was a kid, I used to hear my dad talk about, like, how he wished he could just move to another country, and I really didn't understand it.
Now you get it.
Oh, my God. Like, yeah. The first time I really got it was when Obama lost the midterms, and that was the first time I was really like, oh.
Yeah, shit. Toronto kind of lit.
You know? Yeah, like, I was like, ooh. I could live in Jamaica. And it's really frustrating to try to talk to, and this is not a diss to them, but it's really frustrating to try to talk to like a 22-year-old about why they need to be concerned about SCOTUS seats. And they just can't, or insurance. You know what I'm saying? Like, they just don't.
My theory with them young, you know, fucking youngers who be talking shit. But their problem, and it's actually, I'm going to give them I won't say a pass, but I'm going to give them a bit of understanding. Their problem is simply, and it's black and white, just yep. kids of that age, is that they came up in the Obama era, right? And the Obama era, like we've said on the show before, it's such an anomaly. It was exciting. You know, they were young. You know, Michelle is popping. The girls are beautiful. It was literally like watching like a made up. It was almost like they were like made up. Like they're not real people because there's such a rock star quality to them. And they had black people and white people rocking. They had, you know, the people, you know, rappers and artists, as well as, you know, everybody wanted to be down with them. So that's how, and then when Obama would come out and speak, whatever, it was, you know, 200,000 people showing up. So that's what they think politics are. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for a star. They're looking for somebody to make me feel the way Obama felt. And that person, those are so far and few between. Like the last one to make people move like that probably was John F. Kennedy, which is 60 years ago.
Or Robert.
Which is 50, 60 years ago. So they're fucked up because they think that's what a politician is supposed to do. Supposed to be like a hot nigga.
Well, it's they like, also think that the idea of, you know, there's this whole thing now, just like burn it all down. And that's great, but like, what does that look like and what do you replace it with?
Burn it all down until they start burning down your block.
Right.
Then it's like, hold up, chill.
But it's also like you tear the system down and replace it with what? Like the American electorate system is bullshit, but it's not something that we can dismantle in 4 years. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the other part that frustrates me is like, so y'all just gonna opt out of this shit? And I think what's also they're just gonna have to learn this on their own. You know, the Zoomers, the Gen Zs. Have been talking about how they feel like Gen X and the boomers left them hanging because of the climate and because of the economy and because of the job market. But it's like, by you guys opting out of the election process, now you're doing the same.
So let's move on. I got to bring up real quick, cause we didn't mention it last week. I just got to bring up Lovecraft Country. Another awesome. I mean, every episode, I sound like a broken record, but another awesome episode, in my opinion, this week. It was about Hippolyta, who is Uncle George's wife, widower at this point in the series, anyway, and her journey. And
self-actualization journey.
Exactly. But the bigger picture was the journey of women, and obviously in this case, black women specifically, and how so many people, black women, I'm sure, can relate to her story, which is basically like, I'm a wife and a mom, but I had visions of doing a whole bunch of other shit. Like, she's really smart. She's like she's an adventurer by heart. Like, she loves to go, you know, like seek out things. And, you know, women, and again, black women more specifically, are very rarely encouraged to follow, especially visions like that, like where having a family is not really, I don't want to say not possible, but really hard to do if you want to do what she wants to do.
Yeah.
And so it was about her journey, and she ended up, and there was a couple of jewels, as always, jewels. I missed the first thing about the, sorry, I'm blanking on the black woman on the motorcycle.
What was her name? Betsy, hold on. I'll
yeah. Who was the first black woman to ride cross country on a motorcycle.
Right.
And it's a trip because whoever played her looks, they look exactly alike.
Yeah.
When you look at pictures, yeah, maybe it's her daughter or something. Cause I'm like, yo, like they look identical. Right. And then it was there's a Josephine Baker storyline who is, for those who don't know, was a black woman born in St. Louis, probably in either the late 1800s.
Betsy Stringfield.
Bessie Stringfield. Josephine Baker was probably born in the late 1800s or early 1900s in St. Louis, and ended up moving to Paris and becoming an international star, and, you know, kind of living her life out, a lot of her life out in Paris. She adopted a bunch of children of all nationalities.
Yeah.
She became big in the civil rights movement later on in her life. And she had this whole storyline with Hippolyta. But basically they were like saying like, yeah, like Josie Bates was basically, yeah, I moved here because, you know, it's what, that's the only place I could, like, do this.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
In America, I'd have been fucked up. So it was just a very, it was just great. And then about just kind of like her becoming, you know.
More of herself. Yeah, because, I mean, she tapped into this more free, this freer side of herself in a space where, like, she even said that. She said that, you know, she thought she had her, the quote when she was in the Josephine Baker's world, let's put it that way, mm-hmm. was, I thought I had everything I ever wanted, you know, and then I get here and I realized that I'd actually just been exactly like the kind of Negro woman they wanted me to be, right? Mm-hmm. And
now, know, what did you think about her conversation with George?
I thought it was interesting, and I thought, you know, even though even that was kind of part of this travel situation, I feel like it was a conversation she needed to have because she'd been so mad since she was told he was dead, because she knew there was something more to it. But it wasn't just that she knew there was something more to it. It was because George largely left her out of his travels.
Yes.
Because he didn't think it was safe for her, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it was a resentment of like, I could have possibly been with you. I could have possibly rescued you. But like,
yeah,
something
yeah.
about my own husband that is being kept away from me. But I think part of that anger was also at him for like not taking into consideration that these things that he was doing could get him killed. Right. Like,
yeah, yeah.
You know, even what he was doing with the Negro Traveler's Guide was very dangerous, even though it should have been very innocuous. And I think that that conversation that she was having with him was part of what she needed to have to put her own spirit at ease, right? About his death. But I also thought it was great the way that he responded to her, because I think had she had that conversation with him in real life, he probably still would have been responsive to her.
But it also made me look backwards, because there was more than one time when he was alive, when she was like, I could go with you, and he'd be like, nah, it's kind of too, like, he would always shut her down.
Yeah, and that's why
shut her down.
I think she was annoyed with that because he thought he was protecting her, but to her it felt like, because, you know, we've seen, like, she's a hyper intelligent woman, like, we've seen her dad and talk
she
about,
she figured out the whole planetarium thing.
Yeah, like it's a, like, so, you know. And she was saying that, like, she named the constellation, you know, when she was
for,
you know, like, all that type of shit. So I think she felt like George was marginalizing her, even if it wasn't what he intended to do.
Yeah.
Like I said, I think that conversation for her was necessary. Like, okay, I've touched all these parts of myself. This is the last thing I kind of got to unlock, because I never got to say this to him.
Yeah.
Like, a lot. And then she goes and confers with a godlike celestial.
Yeah. Whose name, you know, her name was Beyonce.
Her name was Beyonce?
Yeah, yeah. It's spelled different, but it's her name was Beyonce. Yeah.
I totally missed that. Like, afroed, you know, black presenting, beautiful. So I am part of a group of people. HBO sent us all Oculus Quest, the VR set.
Okay.
And they had a couple of VR experiences for Lovecraft. It's called Lovecraft Sanctum, where you split up into groups and go on like these little journeys. So there's been two. I missed the first one, but the last one was like the Wednesday or Thursday before the episode. And they took us to this space. It was like we were on this open, it almost felt like we were on like a frozen lake, because there was like mountain ranges around. But we had on, there was this, virtually, there was this juice you could drink that made you float in the sky. And there was this big ass being who was delivering, who gave us like a spoken word performance. It was Journey's voice. I want to say it was like Langston Hughes and some other stuff mixed in together. If you check the hashtag Lovecraft Sanctum, there's video of it, because they took a streamcast of one of the users. So you can watch it. It was gorgeous, but like I said, because we were able to float, like, we could go right up on her face and be all around or whatever. So when I saw that scene, I was like, oh,
see, that's where they got it from.
That was from,
yeah,
that was meant to tie in to that.
That, yeah.
And then they had us do a little part of like the cave walk, like through one of the over one of the beams that stretched down.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Caverns. And if you fell, like you could actually fall, but then they would start you over again. So it was a really cool experience, and it's also like just really a smart way to tie in.
Yeah, well thought out.
Yeah,
yeah. There was another jewel in there too. I don't know if you got like so when she went at the end when she went to fight to talk to the female warriors.
Mm-hmm.
Those are real. They're called the something Amazon. That's they're real people.
I don't know
if there's any of them still alive, but there was a real tribe of female warriors. Which she'd be kind of when she was like, "I am Hippolyta," when she kind of really came into herself. Right. Those female warriors is what they based the Dormilaje on from Black Panther.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Very yes. Cool. That they were based on like a real tribe of female warriors. Mm-hmm. But it was great. Like the episode was just. I mean, it was only two or three left. I think episodes.
Question.
Two or three left. So we're going to be getting really down to the nitty gritty now about tying the story up together.
I've really been enjoying it.
I love it. Did you watch it, bro?
No.
Nigga, I think you didn't. You got quiet.
He's out.
He ain't a science fiction nigga, though. You've been watching some, though, right?
Yeah, so I've been watching Tehran, which is an Apple TV show.
Okay, what's it about?
It's basically a spy thriller.
It's in Iran?
Yes, it's about an agent operating for Israel, and they've kind of made their way into Iran.
Okay.
And they're trying
to... 10 episodes, There's going to be 10, so we're on... This Sunday's 8. I'm sorry, Sean, go ahead.
No, it's... shit, I lost my train of thought.
You were saying it's Iran? Sorry.
Yeah, they...
And you said the Israelis are going into Iran.
Yes, well, it's not the Israelis. It's like an Israeli op is going into Iran. And then finds her... she basically gets stuck there. Oh, and then finds her and then basically tracks down a long-lost aunt who denounced, being... part Israeli, right? Like she married a Muslim man, kind of moved on with her life. So it's a little intricate, it's the kind of shit that I enjoy. It's actually really good because it's more spy than action.
Okay.
So it's not like Jack Ryan. Well,
yeah, they're not blowing
shit up. Yeah. It's not like wild dramatic. Like, dude, you might be in four episodes. It's like two bodies, right? So far, it's not like they just drop
it. It ain't John Wick.
Yeah, that exactly. So, I'm kind of locked in on that.
Now what platform is that on?
Apple TV.
Okay.
Also, if you have Apple TV, check Ted Lasso. Jason Sudeikis is in there. It's basically about a Midwest football coach who gets brought to London to coach a soccer team. It's really interesting because it's based obviously in the UK, right? So really great sense of humor,
I like Jason Sudeikis.
There's a ton of like pop culture references that you'll get. So it's half hour shows. So right, it's a really easy watch. You can blow through them. And then the last thing I've been watching is I started watching Fargo.
I haven't watched this new one yet.
Chris Rock season?
Yeah. Yes, this is the Chris Rock season. And, look.
Shit.
Beautiful gowns. Do I need to watch the other seasons?
I don't think so.
No, because each the way they do Fargo is each season is its own entity. Billy Ray Thornton's joint was his. That was that. And then I forget who the second one was, but whatever. But like they're each their own kind of thing.
Yeah, you start from the beginning of a story, I wouldn't say Beautiful Gowns. I'm joking a bit. I will say this: Chris Rock is. He's a New Yorker, like
every he can't play nothing but a goddamn New Yorker.
And while they have roots, his family has roots in the Carolinas, and I'm sure they were part of the Great Migration.
Yeah.
He don't have
from Columbia.
He doesn't really have to me. He doesn't carry the nuance of what a 1950s black man in Kansas City would be.
Right.
You feel me? Like he just does it. Glenn Thurman is in there. He's excellent, obviously. You know, this is a man with 50 years of acting experience. There are people that pick up the weight that gives you the nuance where Chris Rock really doesn't. And he's not doing a bad job. I'm just a stickler for period pieces, particularly period pieces with black folks, mm-hmm. that there were certain mannerisms, there was certain language that was used.
Yeah.
It's what makes the color purple the color purple.
Right.
Because the language, the mannerisms.
You believe that everybody's in that time.
Exactly. And so he doesn't really exude that, but he is good. He's not funny, man. You're not looking at.
He ain't cracking a bunch of jokes and shit.
Because
Fargo isn't that. Fargo's not.
Not at all.
I mean, it's dark humor, but it's not a comedy.
Yeah, he's good. I just don't believe he's a 1950s Kansas City gangster. That's my point.
I wanted to share one show real quick. I watched it over the last couple of days, and actually the timing of it is interesting. So it's called Utopia. It's on Amazon Prime, and it's based on a series on the BBC, on Channel 4 on the BBC. And it's about this like legendary comic book. There were two comic books. There was a comic book called Dystopia. Nobody knew who the author was. There was only like one copy of it. It generated all these fans because there were all these mysteries in it. But some people also thought that like it actually foretold of plagues that ended up hitting the world, like SARS and a couple of other things.
Mm.
And that there was supposed to be a sequel that would follow called Utopia, but people thought it was a myth. So it's like, you know, how like fans be like, oh, I heard there's this mysterious version of this comic. So
yeah.
A whole fan group. So these kids find it. This woman finds it in her grandfather's. This young woman finds it in her grandfather's house. There's a version of Comic Con coming up. She decides to put it up for sale. And like have people come by and make bids on it, do all this other stuff. But come to find out that whatever's going on with it really is real. There's people out trying to get it, trying to kill people to get it. And it's an interesting narrative about how they're trying to unlock the code to what it says and where it starts and where it traces back to and who even did it. The people who are involved and how much of it is based on reality and how much of it isn't. And the timing is very interesting because there's like some vaccine tricks in there and stuff. Mm-hmm. But it was an interesting watch. Sean, I don't think you would like it, but Jeff, I think you would like it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I got one too that I watched on the plane, and they really captured my, and it's a known show, but I had never watched it. That show Rami?
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Yeah, so Rami won a bunch of awards at the Emmys this year.
I think he lost an Emmy because he went viral for tweeting, for showing the video of the guy sitting outside his window in a hazmat suit. And when somebody else was announced, he just like waved and walked off.
Okay.
The guy was holding the Emmy in a hazmat suit like outside of his door in case he won so he could hand it to him. But when he went, the guy's like...
Just bounced, yeah. So it's a comic named Rami Hassan, and it's... It's kind of a, you know, it's in the vein of that, you know, not as left as this, but in the vein of kind of like that Curb Your Enthusiasm kind of thing where it's like, he's a Muslim. He lives in a Muslim family there, like out in Jersey somewhere. And it's basically about him trying to kind of navigate being a Muslim in, you know, this American society. But he's also very Americanized. So he's kind
of
trying to...
Like a master of none?
Yeah, yes. It's in that type of pocket. It's definitely in that type of pocket. He's very funny. And again, he has these two Muslim friends that are like super hilarious. But then it kind of goes dark sometimes because they'll show like, you know, stuff that happens to Muslims. And it's like, what the fuck? And actually, your boy, executive producer, Sean Gerard Carmichael. That's his show.
Okay.
So I watch you on the play. Two episodes on the plane, and your bro wasn't paying attention.
I wasn't.
Yeah, that's all good. It's all good. Yeah, God bless him. It's really good though. It's like a really. When I watched a couple episodes, I was like, I see why he won. It got some notoriety. So,
I miss watching stuff on the plane. I've been, I was thinking the other day, like, I wonder how much stuff I missed by not watching shit on the plane. And I was like, nothing, because nothing's been coming to theaters. I ain't missed shit.
Yeah.
I had to remember that. I had to remember it's not like anything's been coming out that I've not had access to.
Yeah. So. I just wanted to mention what they call them furloughs, but there was a massive furlough in the airline industry. American Airlines and United Airlines have laid off, I think, a combined total of almost 50,000 people.
That's so
yesterday, October 1st, that happened. And there's a big furlough at Disney. Disney mm-hmm. laid off 32,000 people. And Essence Magazine.
Essence laid off almost their whole staff.
Yeah,
I felt incredibly selfish, but one of my first thoughts was like, yo, is this festival ever going to be able to come back?
I believe that's probably why they had to do it, because their money was mostly coming from that festival.
Yeah.
People 100%. Don't buy magazines no more, and their online presence is pretty shitty, to be honest. So their money was generated from that festival, and now they lost a year, and who knows if they're going to lose another.
Exactly.
Like, ain't no income coming in.
It's going to be a very long time before they're doing 400,000 people again.
That's what I'm saying.
For goddamn sure.
A Superdome.
That's going to happen again.
Yeah. A Superdome 3 nights in a row, like, that's so, I mean, Jesus, man. Yeah, I didn't want to say peace to these people, because that's so fucking minute, but like, that's a lot of people out of work, and there's no government stimulus package. Where, bro?
We still ain't got nothing. So we got $1,200 this whole fucking time from the government. It's fucking joke.
The niggas basically gave y'all 7 cents a day.
But I would
like to dig into those numbers a bit. I mean, listen, that's a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're counting seasonal people.
I'm sure they are.
That, you know, like, so
especially like Disney, like there's not a lot of full-timers at Disney because it's seasonal.
Well, even remember, even with the airlines, that's still a seasonal, you know, position in terms of, you know, peak seasons, right? Like people will come in during
holidays.
Oh, it's like at FedEx, you get, you know, at shipping industry, they start hiring right around now.
Okay.
And they'll keep you from now till, you know, basically the first week of January.
To January, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's not uncommon. So I don't know if that number is encompassed with those people.
I'm sure it is.
But listen, the reality is that, you know, people are not going to parks. They are not, you know, spending the kind of money that it costs to go to Disney, which is very fucking expensive.
Very.
Even outside of a pandemic, like, it is a smooth few hundred dollars, maybe even some commas. You might fuck up some commas at Disney with a family of four. For real.
Easy.
So, well, not easy for me, nigga. I will pack a sandwich. We've done okay, nigga, but I'm still got that
Wonder Bread and that chicken in that bag.
And some granola. You better eat some granola. Ain't nobody buying that $17 ice cream.
You be all right.
Can I tell y'all, this was literally my grandfather when we were all in San Francisco 1 year, and I would be like, I'm hungry. He'd be like, I got a Slim Fast bar. In the back.
You be all right. Drink some of this Dick Gregory. It'll fill you up.
Yeah. Drink some water. That's just water pains.
Exactly.
So I think that's going to be interesting, though, with the airlines, because I do think that, you know, one of the other issues, too, is that air travel hasn't really changed its price.
No, right?
Like
that's
like, going up, if anything.
So we initially had that burst of like niggas getting, you know, $35 tickets.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that was because they hadn't corrected the algorithm.
Yes.
And now they've corrected that algorithm. So the idea, you know, like, you ain't flying to Atlanta for no $35, my nigga.
Yeah. Yeah.
At all.
And I mean, it's funny, you know, I'm in to the people listening. I'm in Atlanta again. For a couple of days working, and this time when I went to the airport, which was, what's today, Friday? My shit's all fucked up. Tuesday? I went to the airport Tuesday. I was the only person at the Delta terminal.
Right, which is crazy.
The last time it was three of us. This time it was just, this is 11:30 on a Tuesday.
We do have to caveat you though, Jeff, because you fly out of LaGuardia. It's only like 100 people flying out of LaGuardia still anyway, nigga.
That's true.
It's like you and seven niggas from Queens that still use LaGuardia.
Scooter, Butchie, them niggas.
I would be very curious to see what that JFK LAX
Yeah, it looks like, yeah. But yeah, LaGuardia, like,
that would give you damn near a commuter flight.
Absolutely. Yeah. But that LaGuardia was empty, like I said last time, having CLEAR or TSA, it's useless.
Yeah, it don't mean nothing.
It don't mean nothing because you walk up to the line.
But still, go through CLEAR if you got. I did. You get your little bag. You get your little hand sanitizer.
Yeah,
little,
yeah. They gave me a mask. They gave me a mask. Yeah, I went through the CLEAR. They hit my eyes and shit. But I definitely was like, to this trip, I was like, I didn't know what was gonna happen like this week, but I was like, man, I feel like there's gonna be some layoffs coming because it ain't nobody flying to hold up that air. Like even just in the airports themselves, you know, the people at the concession stands, like, they're just kind of standing around because there's nobody.
Yeah,
there.
I think what will happen also is you're not really gonna see that uptick during the holidays. No. I think people will largely be staying home, and I think people will largely go traditional routes. Of jumping in the car, so you're probably going to see a uptick. You're
driving, niggas gonna be driving down south this year.
Oh, 100%, 100%. Niggas gonna rent a minivan.
3 a.m. and we leave at 3 a.m. We get there by 9 for breakfast.
When you leave your house in the middle of the night so the neighbors don't see your ass leave. My people stay. My uncle leaving.
Uncle brother used to do that shit. What time we leaving? 4 a.m. in the morning.
My family used to do that, and I was like, "Why we have to leave?" My mother used to say it was because she wanted to be on the roads when the roads were clear. But that shit came from my grandfather and them. These niggas would not leave a house during daylight. I was like, "Why are we fugitives from the law? What is happening?"
4:30 in the morning.
A big, you're on the road. You know what?
Remember back then, it wasn't no GPS on that. So it was somebody. Sometime
with
the map at 4 in the morning, couldn't see shit.
Yeah, I think a big part of why they would leave like that for most of them is they wanted to be out of the Virginia area by rush hour.
That makes sense.
They wanted to be out of that DC, you know, out of that coastline.
Because
when you come into DC, when rush hour starts, is the worst.
So well, peace to everybody who's gonna drive down south to see mom and them.
I've been debating on it, except that. Because I do want to go check on mom, because even though South Carolina is still stupid, her town, because it's mostly a retirement town, is under control. But I want to stay for a while, but I don't know if I want to fly. Like, I can't figure it out. Because if I drive down, it means renting a car, which means I'm not going to rent a car for like a fucking however long.
Yeah, so, you can rent a car for 9 days. It should be dumb expensive.
Figure that out.
Yeah. Lastly, I just wanted to mention is just interesting to see this two things kind of around New York, to see this upticks. And I am going to dance here a little bit because I'm going to dance here a little bit. But there are major upticks in certain areas of New York.
Boroughs.
And those areas tend to have I'm dancing here.
It has a high concentration of a certain group of people of ethnic
and religious people who do what they want to do.
Right.
Always.
I think we can come flat out and say the Hasids. That's on record. The Hasids operate by their own set of rules.
Everything. They got their own ambulances, like own everything.
And they have been flaunting and ignoring the COVID precautions, restrictions, all that from jump, right?
Yeah.
And so they've been a hot area this whole time, but now it's increasing again. And then I heard the mayor say they believe it's not transit. Transit is still safe. It's the restaurants. It's people gathering outdoors at restaurants, even though it's an outdoor space, you know.
Because what happens in the outdoor space is, like, once you go there, you take your mask off. You have to get your mask on. So, and everybody says that the tables are 6 feet away, but even so, it's airborne.
Yeah.
So it's even if it's 6 feet away, it's blowing past where you're sitting.
Right.
And some of the outdoor areas are definitely pretty crowded. And it's getting it's ticking up again, man.
And yet, students went back to school this week.
Yeah, yeah. I know somebody whose school got shut down already because a couple students had the virus. So,
I think we're gonna see. I think we're gonna see a lot of people either pushing tests off or doctoring numbers in order to keep buildings open.
Yeah, they don't know. They don't even know what their testing/grading system for this year is going to be yet. They haven't even figured it out.
Well, listen, I could tell you right now, this is they've canceled 5 SATs for Jordan.
Wow.
She's been prepping, and they have literally canceled 5 SATs. She's supposed to take one this Saturday, which again was canceled. The last one available for her is in November. And we're still prepping. She's going to take her practice test again tomorrow with, mm-hmm. With the proctor. And we'll just assess. We'll just keep going. So she, she's ready to take the test.
Honestly, schools should be waiving SATs.
No, they are.
I think a couple of schools are actually.
No, they are. Because I made sure she sent her list to her guidance counselor to ensure what schools were taking that into consideration or not. So, but yeah, I mean, like, it's just kind of all over the place. Like, she's telling, the first couple of days of school, it was all good.
Yeah.
She's telling me now, fucking kids, they like doing the dumb shit.
Of course they are.
It is what it is. So
it's what kids is expected, Yeah. So, as we always say, stay safe. And, last thing, I just want to give a shout out to Rick Moranis, who got jumped up on the Upper West Side. He was in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
How did he jump Rick Moranis?
He got sucker punched by some dude, but for no reason. Like, and it's funny because I've actually seen Rick Moranis because, that's where he lives. He doesn't really work much anymore. Like, the acting, I don't know what he does behind the scenes, he's one of them dudes, like if you have been around the Upper West Side, like, you could see him. Like, he'll be going to the store. Like, he'd be out. Like, he's been living there probably for, 30 years or so, maybe even more. But, some dude punched him in his face for no reason. Like, I'm like, damn.
Yeah. He's
a little guy, too.
Yeah, I like the Kareemis, man. Leave Rick alone. Shit.
Leave him alone.
Can't bother nobody.
I want to say to everybody is early voting in New York starts October 24th.
Yep.
Make your voting plan if you did not turn in an absentee ballot. I actually got approved to be a poll worker.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that could be.
Oh, shit.
I might see. You going to be up in the Heights?
Yeah.
I might see.
You're going to have her good Air Max, her good glasses.
A hair in a bun and her glasses down on her nose and shit.
Let me see your ID.
Baby, let me see your paperwork. Oh, you go on over there now. This ain't, go on and fill this out, right?
Poll workers are traditionally, retirement age. So they were shortage this year. So actually a lot of my friends and I, we all applied. So I got approved. I don't know if you still can. It might be too late at this point. I'm not sure. But it's a big time requirement, and the days are long, and they give you a couple $100s, but it's
worth. Yeah, but it's not about that. I mean, it's not about the money. It's not about the money for me at all.
Yeah. I know some college students,
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they ain't going to turn it down, but like, it's people, especially the elderly, they take that shit dead ass serious.
Yep. They be on it.
They got their book. They got their flipping their paper.
Nigga, they asked me to sign twice one time because my signature didn't match. Like, I signed that shit 20 years ago.
Right.
So everybody be on it with the voting. And look, people going to vote how they vote. Can't tell people what to vote for, but voting is the most important election, honestly, I think, in the history of this country.
And I'm just saying, don't take anything triple check your registration.
Yeah.
Make sure you don't get expunged from the rolls. Like, just, especially those who are in red states, just triple check everything, your location. Yeah. Just don't.
Did you see what they did? You see what your man did in Texas, the governor? Mm-mm. There's gonna be he decreased the amount of poll drop offs. Dude, there's one poll drop off for Harris County. Harris County is Houston.
Oh shit!
One for the fourth largest city in this, third or fourth largest city in this country. One poll drop off.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
City of millions. So they are on some fuck shit. For real. Yeah. Clearly. So.
I saw somebody tweet that what was going on in Texas should be the primary news of the day, but it's not. But I hadn't had a chance to look.
That's what it is. That's exactly what it is. Yeah.
Foolery. Be prepared for it.
Exactly. So we're going to wrap up on that note. And we'll be getting all these shows to you. Thank you for your patience.
Yes.
And yeah. And be safe out there. We'll see y'all later.
Later.
Peace.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @PopLifePodcast.